Well, there's one of those 60 billion chickens you were talking about last hour there, buddy. Waking up the crowd here at Rosie on the House.
Rooster's crow.
Rooster's crow. All right. Chickens.
Cluck.
Cluck. Hey, well, we're going to cluck away here with John J. Harper in the garden at Rosie on the House. We invite you to join the conversation and present us with your challenges out in the garden, the lawn, your trees, the hedges at 1-888-767-4348. Whatever it is you're trying to get done outside, now's your chance to ring in and talk to Mr. Harper. We're here with my son and co-host Romy Romero, broadcast engineer Mr. Mike Reich, and Jennifer is our call screener. She'll pick your call up, find out your name, where you're calling from in the great state of Arizona, and what your question is. We'll put you right in touch with Mr. Harper that's sitting right here in the studio with us. Mr. John Jay, how are you, sir?
I'm great. Yeah. Great. Interesting conversation this morning in the first hour about seeds and
seeds and more seeds.
Sustainability and all of that.
So can you answer our hemp versus cannabis question?
You know, not sure. I think hemp, as I recall, was grown, you know, to make rope or, you know, a rope-like material back before, you know, before they made nylon ropes and, you know, rope out of cotton fibers and that sort of thing. So that's all I know. And I suppose that, you know, it's close enough in family to, you know, did you look up the botanical name for hemp? Is it cannabis of some type?
I have not. That's a very good.
If it is a cannabis genus, that they probably discovered that the bud or the bloom on it had some properties that were desirable for some people. My understanding is all over the Midwest, from the history of old hemp farms and fields, that you still can find cannabis plants growing along the ditch banks that keep coming back from seed and that sort of thing over the...
You can actually see that in South Dakota. I mean, you can drive around a farm and it'll be in the ditches out there in the summer as well. I mean,
yeah.
It will. I mean, some idiot kid will think he can roll a cigarette with it and give himself a headache, and y'all laugh at him for being dumb.
They sure try, right?
As a miracle product for everything from building materials to clothing. But speaking of plants and seeds.
So you go to a festival like that, and you've got half the crowd that is pushing cannabis as a cure for everything, and then the other half is saying all the food we're eating right now is killing us. It's like a revolving door of conspiracy. Isn't the world supposed to end like on the 23rd?
Oh, we have another one of those going on?
Yeah, we do. Yeah,
I didn't know that.
And for everyone just tuning in, this is now the second hour of Rosie on the House. We have a fourth hour we added earlier this year. Not all of our radio affiliates carry them, but you can go to our website, get the link, and we're talking about the International Heirloom Expo that was in Santa Rosa, California this week we attended.
And heirloom, probably we should explain what heirloom, I don't know that everybody out there knows the difference between what is an heirloom seed and what is basically it's non-hybridized, right? It's a, you know, it's going back to the original variety of tomato, cucumber, squash, whatever it is. So it hasn't been hybridized. A lot of people like to plant heirloom vegetables so they can then collect the seed from that and keep growing them themselves because they haven't been hybridized or, you know, so the seed, a lot of hybrids, or most of them, the seeds are sterile or they won't come true.
It's like breeding a donkey with a horse. You get a burro that you can't breed.
Right.
It's a sterile animal. So you've got these hybrid seeds that you can't take. You know, they'll still produce seed as a natural part of the fruit, but it's not something you could dry out, sow, and replant.
Correct. So, and then there's the other folks that like it because it hasn't been altered or messed with. Some heirloom varieties are thought to be hardier. And of course, then we get into the, you know, to the diversification of the gene pool. So you've got, you don't have all of this, you know, where we get down to where we've hybridized, and we've got, you know, a risk of some calamity out there. If we lose all of this variety of corn, it's all gone. We have some, you know, some genetic diversification.
So. I get it. Heirloom seed, that's just the seed the way God made it, right?
There you go. Yeah. Good way of thinking of it.
Yeah. Just take it right back to the original.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, and I don't know if it, you know, it's at least the original of that, how nature hybridized it, so to speak, to get it to that point. Because, you know, nature's always genetically modifying things.
Absolutely. Right?
So, you know, that is a little misnomer
bird drop,
there.
With, seed displacement from.
Well, or just in nature, you get things that cross-pollinate, or, you know, you get... you know, things that adapt to, you know, a certain region or temperature range or water availability or lack of water or saline water versus fresh water. So, you know, I know it's not the same thing that they're talking about with man, tweaking the genes of something, but nature is always adapting and modifying to survive.
And we're kind of at a critical point on the calendar. For
we are
seeds and gardens and cultivation, and
we're fast approaching the middle of September, which means that. And I saw a weather report that had Monday or Tuesday being in the 80s, the high. So, you know, there you go. So it's time to be getting the ground tilled up and getting compost worked into the soil and planting a lot of things from seed, a lot of the winter squashes. And, you know, think about, you know, the winter squash is a great example because it's an exception to my rule, but root things you eat the roots, the stems, or the leaves of are basically your cool season or winter vegetables. Of course, then we have winter squash, which is a fruit that you harvest. But so all of the leafy things, the chards, the spinach, the lettuces, all of the radishes, the carrots, the turnips, the beets, parsnips, those types of things. And then, you know, the kind of the modified stem, flower, bud things like cauliflower and cabbage and broccoli and Brussels sprouts. It's time to start getting that stuff, or at least getting ready so you can jump on it any day. It is a long season. Our cool season, see, we can sow multiple crops of these depending on when you start, you know, and how well they do. For instance, onion sets, a great thing to do is get some and plant a few now and wait 2 or 3 weeks and plant a few so you have them coming on in stages. And so this season is a very long season for us, and you don't have to hurry. Make sure you prepare the soil properly. Make sure you get things on that planting calendar that are going to do well for you. And you mentioned our little conversation the other day about wasting water. You know, you want to plant things so early that it's so hot that you're having to water so much, and then maybe half of it fails because you weren't ready. You didn't have your ground ready yet, and you end up replanting again. So make sure that everything is right and ready before you plant, because the calendar says now it's time to start doing it. So we want to get ready. Now, most soil can be prepared and you can plant in the same day. Just, you know, make sure you do a thorough job and make sure you water properly. Still going to be 100 degrees or so in the hot part of the day today. Make sure you've watered it really well. So it's time. It's time to quit talking about it and start doing it.
Radishes, you were talking about planting and sections. We have always had a great radish harvest. Now, it's a little bit later that those seem to come on, like in October. But that's one that I don't realize how much I enjoy radishes until you get a fresh one every single day. And I mean, we'll get radishes that are the size of, you know, a small lime.
Yeah, and there's all kinds of different kinds of radishes, you know, the icicle radishes, and you know, there's Japanese type radishes, and there's the little typical red hot radishes, and you know, so depending on your taste and your tolerance for spiciness or heat, you know, there's all kinds of radishes that you can grow.
And they say that you can plant that as a perimeter, and it helps keeps rabbits out.
Oh, okay.
Oh, we handle our rabbit troubles
in a
differently.
All right.
But I've heard
Fair
that
enough.
Naturally, you can radishes will deter them. Now, there was a couple different people there that had resources. And in fact, I noticed it in the Farmer's Almanac as well, where it's planting by moon phases, mm-hmm. and that there's supposed to be a better time to plant based on the moon.
A lot of people, you know, believe that. I don't know that there's any scientific evidence, quote unquote, that holds true. But, you know, it's kind of like a confidence thing. It's, you know, typically those moon phase things, you're still going to have to plant it in the right time to plant it. So if you need to sow this particular type of vegetable in September, you still need to do it in September. You just wait for the, you know, maybe the exact day or the week in September that the moon phase says it's probably
to put it in the ground.
Right, right. So see, it doesn't let you get away with doing it at the wrong time of the year. It just is implying that in the month of September, we feel like this moon phase is the best time to plant, so you should do it then. I haven't ever seen anybody prove it, but I've never seen anybody disprove it either.
Well,
so,
and it was interesting. She was talking. I said, "Well, how does that make a difference?" She said, "Well, it's just like the tides." And she was going through the explanation, and you know, her explanation all sounded rational. But then she goes, "And you know what else really helps is this astrological sign or whatever." And I was like, You sold cannabis seeds too, don't you?
Drinking the Kool-Aid.
Okay.
Well, we fish to the moon phases all the time.
You know, they use that for fishing and also for game activity.
Game activity, yeah.
So, you know, certainly there's a biorhythm in the universe, right? And I'm sure there are some things to it. And I guess it gets back to me as if, you know, it's getting back to fishing. If you have a certain lure that you're confident
baby.
And you catch fish with
it,
then you use it and you catch fish with it. If planting by the moon phases gives you some confidence and it's something you can hang your hat on, then you should by all means go by that.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE-4U. If you'd like to join the conversation, it'll be Charlie first when we get back.